please stand for the gospel lesson?
John's disciples follow Jesus. The next day, John the Baptist was there again with two of his disciples. When he saw Jesus passing by, he said, "Look, the Lamb of God." When the two disciples heard him say this, they followed Jesus. Turning around, Jesus saw them following and asked, "What do you want?" They said, "Rabbi," which means teacher, "where are you staying?" "Come," he replied, "and you will see." So they went and saw where he was staying, and they spent that day with him. It was about 4 in the afternoon. Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of the two who heard what John had said and who had followed Jesus. The first thing Andrew did was to find his brother Simon and tell him, "We have found the Messiah, that is, the Christ." And he brought him to Jesus. Jesus looked at him and said, "You are Simon, son of John. You will be called Cephas," which when translated, is Peter. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
The next day. That's how our gospel reading for this morning begins, the next day. It's also how our gospel reading for last week began, and spoiler alert, it's how our gospel reading for next week begins too. John's gospel begins by relaying events that are taking place on a series of consecutive days, today's reading being the third day of the week. That phrase, the next day, it may at first appear to be incidental information, but the more you get to know John's gospel, the more you come to realize there is no such thing as incidental information when it comes to John. You recall when we started into this gospel 3 weeks ago, John's gospel began in the beginning. In the beginning was the Word, John tells us, the Word of God that brought forth creation. John began by echoing Genesis chapter 1. And then the story of Jesus begins to unfold day by day, just as the story of creation unfolded day by day. What John wants us to hear reflected in the listing of days is that what we are witnessing in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus is nothing less than a new creation. John's gospel is a new Genesis. He is telling us about God's new creation in Jesus Christ. John chapter 1 takes place on 4 consecutive days. Chapter 2 then begins with the words, "on the third day," meaning, of course, the third day after the end of chapter 1. John then tells the story of Jesus turning water into wine, a miracle that he identifies as the first sign Jesus did to reveal his glory. Setting the story up in this way accomplishes two things. It places the first of Jesus's miraculous signs on the seventh day, a number which represents fulfillment, completion, perfection, the coming together of heaven and earth. This miracle is a sign of heaven coming to earth. And it allows John to introduce the first of Jesus' revelatory signs by using the phrase, "on the third day," a phrase that foreshadows the end of the story, the ultimate sign of Christ's glory, revealed fully when he is resurrected on the third day. All of that is simply to show you that no detail in John's gospel is put there by chance. All of it is filled with layer upon layer of meaning, and it places our stories for this week and next week right smack dab in the middle of the new creation, days 3 and 4. And what takes place right there in the middle of the story of new creation is the call to discipleship. This is the part of the story where John tells us about Jesus calling his first disciples. And as we look at the stories of Jesus calling his first disciples, we learn a lot of things about discipleship. And that's important because that is, after all, what we're about here in the church. We are called to be disciples. We are called to make disciples. We are here to grow in our discipleship. So we better have some understanding from a biblical perspective of how discipleship works. The first thing that we learn about discipleship in this section of the gospel is that it generally begins with a witness. John the Baptist is a witness to Jesus. He pointed people to Jesus. This is a little bit different than the other three gospels. In the other three gospels, Jesus shows up by the lake and he invites the disciples to follow him before they have any idea who he is. In John's gospel, though, someone tells them who he is. John the Baptist tells them who he is. Behold, the Lamb of God. The scripture tells us that John the Baptist said this to two of his disciples. These first two people to become disciples of Jesus were originally disciples of John the Baptist. But as we already saw in the previous weeks, John was not interested in drawing attention to himself. He wasn't interested in gathering a crowd around himself. The only reason for him to even have disciples was so that when the time came, he could turn those disciples over to Jesus. That is what happens in our story for today. John points his disciples to Jesus, and they leave John and begin to follow Jesus. One of those two, we are told, was Andrew, and he had a brother named Simon Peter. As soon as Andrew began to follow Jesus, the first thing he did was go find his brother Simon and bring him along. Verse 42 says, he led him to Jesus. Think about that. He led him to Jesus. Andrew led his brother Peter to Jesus. Again, the Gospel of John is saying more than that Andrew physically directed his brother to where Jesus was. By saying that Andrew led Peter to Jesus, John means the same thing that we mean when we talk about leading someone to Jesus. It was because of Andrew's witness that Peter believed in Jesus. It was because of Andrew's witness that Peter became a disciple. He led him to Jesus. Just like John the Baptist led Andrew and the other first disciple to Jesus. Discipleship begins with a witness, being pointed to Jesus, led to Jesus by the witness of another believer. I would venture to guess that most of you here today did not just stumble upon a church and decide to walk in on your own. There may be one or two exceptions to that, but that's not generally how it happens. Most people who are in church because someone else whom they love and respect either brought them along or invited them to come. Most people who have faith in Jesus because someone else whom they love and respect led them to Jesus. I remember my parents taking me to Sunday school every week as a kid. I remember them teaching me and my brother the Lord's Prayer at bedtime. I can even visualize it. Myself on the top bunk of the bunk bed, my brother on the bottom bunk, our parents standing next to the bed, reciting the prayer line by line until he and I were able to say it on our own. I remember when I was a teenager, old enough to rebel and decide that I wasn't going to go to church anymore. I remember my mom telling me about her faith. She didn't complain about me not going to church. Oh, she still wanted me to go, and she encouraged me to go, and she expected me to go on certain holidays. But what she told me about was her faith, how her faith meant everything to her, how when she faced struggles in life, and even just the struggle of getting through the week, her faith was what kept her going. And she told me that all she wanted for me was that I would have that same kind of faith, so that I would have that to lift me up when life got hard. And you know what? Life did get hard. And you know what else? When life did get hard, that faith showed up because the foundations my parents had laid, the witness that they had made to Jesus. Many of you remember listening to Bible stories at your grandma's knee, or singing hymns around the family piano, or learning the lessons of the faith in Sunday school because that's where your parents or your grandparents took you every Sunday. Here's something for us to consider. We live in a society now in which the majority of young people did not grow up in the church. The majority did not. We live in a culture in which the foundation that was laid for so many of us growing up is completely missing for so many. We live in a world in which people don't just happen upon Jesus. People have to be led to Jesus. That's the very first step of discipleship, being led to Jesus. If there are people out there who haven't yet been introduced to Jesus, and believe me, there are. They are out there in droves. If there are people out there who haven't yet been introduced to Jesus, then it is our opportunity and our responsibility to make the introduction. John the Baptist introduced Andrew to Jesus. Andrew introduced Peter to Jesus. Andrew is mentioned by name three times in the Gospel of John, and all three times he is bringing someone else to Jesus. In our story today, he leads his brother Peter to Jesus. In chapter 6, Andrew is the one who brings the boy with 5 loaves and 2 fish to Jesus. In chapter 12, he brings some inquiring Greeks to see Jesus. Some of us are called to be like Andrew, leading people to Jesus. How else will they know? There are people out there who are hungry for what Jesus has to offer. Some of them don't even know it. Many people don't know what they're looking for or where to find it, and yet there is that need. They might not be able to name it, but they sure can feel it. Are you going to be the one to point them to the one who can fill the longing of their hearts? As soon as John the Baptist pointed his disciples to Jesus, they began to follow Jesus. But they must have been following from a distance. Perhaps they were hesitant to draw attention to themselves. Perhaps they wanted to watch Jesus for a little while before saying anything. Whatever the case, Jesus noticed that they were following him, and so he turned to them and he asked, "What are you looking for?" Then they answered his question with another question, "Rabbi, where are you staying?" And then he responded with the invitation, "Come and see." So let's look at this exchange and see what it has to teach us about discipleship. What are you looking for? That's the question that Jesus asked when he saw those two men following him. They could have been looking for any number of things. All they knew at this point was that the one thing that John had told them, that Jesus is the Lamb of God. What that meant to them, whether they had any understanding of it, we don't know. Jesus knew, of course. He knows all things. He knew why they were following him, what they were after, but he asked them that question so that they would have to grapple with it for themselves. What are they looking for? Were they looking for the prestige and honor that comes with being with God's chosen one? Were they looking for battle against the Romans and they hoped that Jesus would be the one to lead them to victory? Were they looking to learn more about God and they hoped Jesus would be the one to teach them? Were they looking for protection from the one who would rule over Jerusalem? Were they simply looking for a new adventure? What were they looking for? It's a question that confronts all of us at some point in our own discipleship as well. What is it that you're looking for? What is it that you're looking for in coming to church? Why? What do you hope to get from following Jesus? Are you looking for a way out of this difficult world and just hanging on until you get to that better place? Are you looking for purpose and meaning in this life? Are you looking for material blessings that you think you'll get because you do what God demands? Are you looking for what God wants for you? Are you looking for what you want from God? Are you looking for a place to belong? Are you looking for a place to have influence? Are you seeking Jesus because you're hurting and you need to be comforted? Are you seeking Jesus because you're blessed and you need to praise him? What are your motives? What are your interests? What are your expectations, spoken or unspoken, conscious or subconscious? At some point in our discipleship, Christ confronts us with this question. What are you looking for? The response of the first two disciples doesn't at first appear to be an answer to that question. They don't say what they're looking for in Jesus. They just ask him where he's staying. In a way, though, that does answer Jesus's question. A disciple in those days was someone who lived with their master, who followed their master everywhere they went. A disciple wasn't just learning information from a teacher. A disciple was learning a way of life. When these two asked Jesus, "Where are you staying?" what they were saying in effect was, "Can we join you? Can we stay with you? Can we be your disciples?" They wanted to stay where he was staying. They wanted to do what he was doing. They wanted to live as he was living. They were applying for the position of disciple. They wanted to go deeper in their faith. Do you want to go deep in your discipleship? Are you ready to be changed? Not just in the way that you think, but in how you live? Are you ready to follow Jesus step by step and be transformed in the process? Andrew and the other disciple were ready for this. It's what they were looking for. And so in response to their question, "Rabbi, where are you staying?" Jesus answered, "Come and see. Come and see." That is the invitation to discipleship. It's the invitation that Jesus extends to all of us, wherever we are in our faith. But the invitation strikes us each differently depending on where we are in our faith. For those who are brand new in their faith, or even those who are uncertain about faith and simply recognize a curiosity and a desire within themselves for deeper meaning in life, come and see. For them, it is a welcoming invitation. You don't have to have all the answers. You don't really even have to know what it is you're searching for. Come and see. Try Jesus out. Spend some time in the Word and find out what he's about. Spend some time with the faith community and see what discipleship looks like. All of us have people in our lives who are not yet committed to Jesus, not yet committed to a family of faith. We need to reach out to them with that same non-threatening, welcoming invitation. Come and see. Try Jesus out. See for yourself what impact he has on you and your life. You already heard in 2 weeks about this Back to Church series that we're entering into. This is a perfect opportunity for you to make that invitation. This handout that you got in the bulletin that you heard about, give it to somebody. Give it to somebody with an invitation. Someone who hasn't been to church in a while, someone who doesn't have a church, someone who's going through some things right now, and you know that having faith in Jesus to hold them up would make all the difference. Tell them a little bit about your own faith and then ask them to join you. It's a simple invitation. Come and see. And then there are those who already have that foundation of faith. And for them, the invitation to come and see lands a little bit differently, requires a little bit more. It's important that the word come comes before the word see. First you come, then you see. Discipleship is a journey. Being a disciple means taking some risks, stepping out in faith. And when we do that, then we get to see, sometimes quickly and dramatically, sometimes gradually and after much trial. But after we step out in faith, then we get to see how God's plan for us all comes together. Risking the journey always precedes the reward of seeing the next revelation. You have to come first before you can see. As we do this, it sets up for us this pattern of discipleship. This pattern that is a lifelong journey. We come. We respond to the invitation. We step out in faith, not certain where it will lead. Eventually, we see firsthand how God's plan works in our lives. And then Christ invites us to go even deeper. Come and see even more. If you've been a Christian for a while, you know that Christ doesn't leave us complacent for long. As soon as you have taken one step, he invites you to take another. Come and see. There's always more to see. There's always more of God to be revealed, always opportunity to draw even closer to our Creator. And always we must be willing to risk that next step in faith before we get to experience that next level of intimacy with our Heavenly Father. There's even more of God for you than you can even yet imagine. Come and see. I know that for some of you, inviting someone to church might be a scary thing, something you've never done before. But this is central. Central to God's new creation in Jesus Christ. So perhaps that's the next step of faith for you, the next growth in your discipleship. Christ is inviting you to go even deeper in your discipleship. Give it a try. Come and see. Find out what more he has for you.